Hello, everybody. This is Bella DeSoto, the KPFK Finance Committee meeting. We meet the second Wednesday of each month, 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, our new time. And we are going to start our agenda. And I would like to read our agenda for the stream so we can all be on the same page. And a motion was just submitted. So, call to order, roll call, approve agenda, approve minutes from the February 10th, 2021 meeting, set next meeting date, Wednesday, April 14th, 2021, 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. Report on current station financial status from the general manager. He was sent an invitation. Report from current financial status from the business manager, Mr. Barry Brooks, his summary report, Q&A from the committee, et cetera. Review January 2021 P&L. That's number eight. Number nine, review Allegiance Fund Drive data from most recent fund drive, which would be February. Hopefully the general manager, if he joins us, he can cover several questions that were sent to him, submitted to him. Why Allegiance has not been able to document the cost yet, but Barry Brooks sent us the cost today. Alan Beek's budget suggestions presentation for 2021 and perhaps 2022. Discussion Q&A from the committee. Number 11, discussion of the special LSB Finance Committee and others. Attendees, meeting scheduled for Sunday, March 14th, 2021 at 10:30 a.m. And that is to go over, of course, budget, proposed budget, and the current status of the financial situation at KPFK in relationship to Pacifica. New business, nothing there yet, and motions was just submitted. In order to ensure that our meetings are more efficient, it is proposed the following motion to be adopted, special rules to be added starting today at the Finance Committee for the agenda. The times be assigned to all agenda items, and the time can only be extended by a two-third vote. That's number one. Number two, that no one person be allowed to speak more than three times on any one agenda item. Number three, that there be a time limit of 90 seconds per speaker. And number four, that no one be allowed to speak a second time until all who wish to speak for the first time are heard. This came from Gray Farron. Okay, we are going to start our meeting now in earnest. So I think because this motion just came in, I would like to entertain any changes. Dave, you raised concerns earlier.
Well, as a point of order, shouldn't we go through the rest of the agenda and approve the minutes and things first?
Yes, we could do that, or we can dispense with this real quickly so we can move through the agenda.
Okay. This is Grace. I'd just like to have this as a motion to add this to the agenda. I'd like to add it right after the approval of minutes with the hope that these items might make the meeting more efficient.
Okay, because I put it under motion.
Okay. So it should be a motion to discuss whether we want to add this as a special rule for our meetings.
Got it.
Okay, so
let me put this
I'd
on
like
top.
To add it. First, we have to add it to see if we can add it to the agenda if no one objects.
Yes. Hold on. Any objection?
Okay. Next, we have to see if everybody agrees to adopt the agenda as you've sent it out.
I know. We have an agenda. We have an agenda in front of us, Grace.
I know that, but it has to be approved by the body before we move forward.
Yes. Okay. I had placed your motion under motions at the bottom. Now you are asking me to put this after approval of the agenda.
No, after approval of minutes.
Yeah, so she just offered that. There was no objection to it, so that's now in the agenda, and we can approve the agenda as modified.
Let's go on. Can we? Somebody is calling me, and hold on, please. Hello?
Yes, hi, this is Ken.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for joining us. Let me mark you in. Okay, so now we are, Ken, do you have all the documents in front of you?
Okay.
Do you?
Oh, no, I don't. Not yet.
Okay, we are going to approve the agenda. Everybody has
okay.
The agenda in front of them? I would like to approve the agenda. If there are any objection, as it is, I have just added Grace's motion.
Bella, don't we amend the agenda before we approve the agenda?
Yes, I was just saying that I added as number 4 after approve the minutes motions to be discussed, which is the one I just read from Grace.
Okay.
So if this is the only amendment, that we can go ahead and approve the agenda as is.
Bella, maybe you want to say, are there any objections to the agenda as amended?
Yes, as amended. Yes, I did.
Hearing none.
Hearing none, approved. Okay, great. Now we need to approve our minutes from February 10th, 2021. Everybody has them, I'm sure.
Sorry to interrupt, Bella. This is Rocio. I'm not sure if you took roll or not, but I'm here. Just want to make sure you know.
Hi, Rocio. Thank you so much for checking in. Great having you. Let me check you in. Hold on. Beautiful.
Janine is on the call as well.
Hi, Janine. Great. Hold on. Rocio, I don't see your name on this list, and I put you here. One moment. Okay, great. Rocio and Janine, you both have all the documents sent out. We just approved the agenda as amended.
Yes, I have everything. Yes.
Good. And you were able to hear the amendment. Yes, the motion.
Yes.
From Grace.
Yes, I did.
Good. So let's move on. We need to approve the minutes from February 10th. Any comments, amendments, etc.?
Fred, the minutes from the last meeting are not in standard format.
Okay, let me open.
But there's almost nothing there.
Oh no, au contraire, it's a very long document. It's 2 pages long. Three pages. 2 3 2/4. So did you get the minute? Who sent with the agenda? Mm-hmm. sent at 10:30 last night or 10:35. Okay, we're losing a lot of time. Are there any objections to the minutes? Did everyone receive the minutes?
No, I don't think I have. My download thing is not working right now. I have no objection to them, sight unseen. I just want to make one thing here. I think I did phone in late in that meeting. I just want to make sure that I'm marked as having attended. I guess the Maestro call-in record.
You were marked attended. Yes, I made sure you did. Yes,
okay.
John.
Okay.
You've been a member many years. Yes.
This is Grace. I have a correction.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Ken and I are both listed as LSC members.
We're not LSC members any longer. You are so right. That was a misclassification. Let me correct that right now, public. And Ken. And Ken did not attend, so he's out, yeah. Thank you. I just corrected that, Grace.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, any other corrections or we've got to move on? We have a lot to cover, and we have a special meeting coming up next Sunday. Can we approve the minutes, please? And you can send me any adjustments later.
Bill, I suggest you just ask if there are any objections to the minutes as corrected.
Yes. Any objections to the minutes as corrected, please?
Then hearing no objection, the minutes are approved.
That's right. Thanks. Okay, so we move on to the agenda. Our next day, meeting is scheduled for, hold on, let me get there. We're meeting on April 14th, Wednesday, 4:30 p.m. On New Time. So let's go to the motion. Let's go to the motion that Grace has submitted. I read it before. Dave, you had some comments?
Yes, I object to the item number one, the two-thirds vote. I'd like to keep it as a simple majority vote.
Very good. Okay, so simple majority. Any objection to that?
You're keeping it to simple majority?
Yes, instead of a two-thirds, which makes it more complicated.
I favor a simple majority.
This is Grace. I just would like to say that in Robert's rules, after time has expired for an agenda item, it takes a two-thirds vote to extend time. But it could be adjusted to a majority vote, but that's the protocol per Robert's rules.
Okay, so any objection?
But I'm just making that comment, but
yes.
Dave wants to amend this motion to make it a majority.
A simple majority.
That's correct. Right.
Okay, so we should take a vote to either pass or not pass that amendment.
Now, any other objections to that rule?
Okay.
No.
Bella,
so let's take a vote.
Bella, you have to ask if there are any objection to Dave's amendment to change extension of time from a two-thirds vote to a majority vote.
Okay. You know, I don't want to be so anal. The question is very simple. We are now contemplating it changing this from a two-thirds to a simple majority. Okay, Grace. Is there any objection to the amendment by Dave? Hearing none. There is no need to go. Now we are going to, well, there's no objection to changing it, so it is adjusted. It is amended. Case number two, that no one person be allowed to speak more than three times on any one agenda item. I disagree with that. There has to be, often the questions are not addressed properly. They're left in limbo, hanging in there. And sometimes one member may enlighten the others by asking it in another way. So there are different ways to skin the cat, and I don't know if this would be helpful to us. However, I like the spirit of it so that we can keep within time. I don't know. Any objections to, I mean, that's how I feel. Though. What the people feel. Any comments or what?
I object to it.
Okay.
Is Ken a point of information?
Yes, Ken.
Is this just for the Finance Committee or the LSB?
No, we are in the Finance Committee. This is strictly Finance Committee.
Just for the Finance Committee. Okay, thank you. Okay, I just want to make one comment. We do not live in a perfect world. So you have to weigh getting things done and completing the meeting over everybody getting to talk as long as they want forever. So I support the restraint.
Okay.
And Fred also seconds support.
Oh, you don't have to second support. You support it.
Well,
so John and Bella object to it. And so, therefore, we are going to take a vote. Any other objections?
Sorry, point of information. I'm not clear which aspect people are now discussing. Can you repeat
Number two on the motion, Michael, did you get it?
Okay. Yeah. About how many times people can speak?
The motion is to allow people to speak only three times.
Correct.
Yeah.
On
right.
any one agenda item.
Yeah.
Yes, I object to that. If you get into a discussion, you might have to talk back and forth five or six or seven times to complete the discussion.
I agree. That's what I said earlier.
Okay.
Yes, I agree.
And this meeting could take 24 hours, too.
Okay, we're going to take a vote so we can finalize.
I object, Bella. Can we say a time that everyone's comfortable with, that no one person be allowed to speak more than four times or five times on any one agenda item?
I can go with five times. I'm hoping that we don't exhaust that. You know,
I'd like to be in the queue.
Yes, John, go ahead.
This is meta information. Mitch Jezerich today did a thing about the history of the filibuster rule, and it basically was an attempt by the slave owners to basically be able to stop any progress. And what I see here, this is analogous. Grace is basically coming up with a whole lot of rules to basically restrict speech, slow things down, allow people to use Robert's Rules of Order as a weapon to suppress discussion and dissent. And I object to this philosophically. I strongly urge people to listen to that show today. It was in the archives, really great. What we need to do is to agree to move forward expeditiously and to be reasonable. And Grace basically is going to go to a bunch of rules to tie her hands and let the parliamentary experts dominate us. It's a question of rule by the most educated. I object to it in principle, and I hope you guys do too.
Thank you. That was excellent. Okay. Let's take a vote, please. We need to vote.
A point of order. We're not voting on anything. This is just line two. I understand John's objection, but I don't think it's a practical objection. If anyone is allowed to speak 20 times on one agenda item, unlimited, an agenda item could take 15 hours to complete. So I say let's have some sort of limitation. I suggest that no person be allowed to speak more than four times on any one agenda item. So I make that as an amendment.
Maybe the counter to that is Bella, the counter to that is social pressure. We can use social pressure. The committee has been working okay. We just need to adopt the attitude. Let's get things done.
Point of order.
Social pressure. Social pressure.
Other people talk besides John.
A person doesn't get to speak unless they are recognized by the chair. The chair just
Thank
won't
you.
Have.
John was not recognized. Thank you. John was not recognized.
Yes, he
Thank
was,
you.
Ken. Ken, he was
he
recognized.
Was,
and
he
if
was
you want
recognized.
Then
Gray spoke. Then Gray spoke, and then John spoke without being recognized.
Ken, you're being disruptive. You realize that. If you want
to
be heard,
go.
You just ask to be heard.
Okay,
John,
can I be on
the stack?
I wanted to get it. Can I be on the stack?
Of course you can. I heard someone else after you, Ken. Who was it?
Michael Novick.
Michael. Ken. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay. That's just the point. My interrupting without being noticed is a point of obstruction of a meeting and obfuscate, you know, trying to stop the meeting. If you do not limit the number of times a person can talk on an issue, he can accomplish the very things that John was cautioning us about. Somebody taking control of the meeting by continuing to bring up our name and arcane points are irrelevant because they want to stall the vote or postpone the meeting. There's nothing wrong. We speak languages that we understand. If I start speaking Russian or Vietnamese, nobody's going to get me. So we speak a common language we all understand. That's an agreement. We agreed to be recognized and on a cue before we speak. It's an agreement. There's nothing wrong with agreements. It is not tyranny. Order is not tyranny. So I agree
okay,
with
Ken.
These motions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Michael?
Yeah, so the rest of the rules, which people seem prepared to live with, are that we're going to assign times for all agenda items, and the time can be requires a majority vote to extend after you reach time. That there's a time limit of 90 seconds for each speaker, that no one be allowed to speak a second time until all who wish to speak for the first time are heard. Let me finish what I'm saying, please.
Okay.
Those are the other points in the thing which people seem to not be objecting to, having changed the first one. So I think that the second one is pretty much extraneous in that context, that any time the body can vote to end debate on a topic and move on. So I think we should just drop the second one and rely on the other three, which seem perfectly reasonable and limit how often people can speak and therefore how many times that anyone's likely to speak if we adhere to the time limits we set. So we need to set time limits once we adopt this for the rest of the items on the agenda.
Right.
Thank you.
I agree with that. Okay. Any objections to eliminating number two? And we will use the best judgment we can as adults dealing with very difficult issues. Okay? Hearing none. Number three, Michael, however, I suggested 1 minute instead of 90 seconds. It's easier bookkeeping as well. Is there any objection to that?
I object.
I object.
60 seconds is too short, Bella.
Yeah.
Sixty seconds is too short.
I never said 60 seconds. I said 1 minute.
Yes, 1 minute is 60 seconds. 90 seconds is a minute and a half.
Yes. Excuse me. So
let's go 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. I was going to say two, but then I wanted to be a little bit more shrewd. But 2 minutes is I think it's decent and acceptable. So everybody is on board with 2 minutes.
No, that's John. John is making a Dave is making an amendment to amend 90 seconds to 2 minutes. It has to
yes.
be voted on. It has to be discussed and voted on, Bella.
Only. Yes. Okay. Anyone else objecting to the 90-second rule?
I think it would be 2 minutes instead of 90 seconds.
Okay. So we are going to take a vote, changing number 3 from 90 seconds to 2 minutes. Okay, folks?
Is there any, just okay, ask if there's any objections.
Fred, I did not hear you. What did you say?
Ask if there's any objections.
I already did. And Grace, again, asked me to take a vote.
No, I didn't. I just said
okay,
that you have to consider Dave's,
run the meeting.
Have to consider Dave's amendment. The body has to approve it.
I asked for that, Grace, and you interrupted me earlier saying that we needed a vote. Okay, any objections to changing, once again, the 90-second rule to 2 minutes? Hearing none, it is adopted. I am closing the 90 seconds to 2 minutes.
Good.
Done. Okay, great. Let me save. All right. Number 4. That was number 3. Number 4 is the last one. That no one be allowed to speak a second time until all who wish to speak for the first time are heard. I have an objection with this in procedure. Anyone else objects or what? Any comments?
Seems fair to me.
This is Grace. This is fair. Nobody should be allowed. If a person who hasn't spoken wishes to speak, that should take precedence over someone who's already spoken speaking a second time. That's
oh,
just fairness.
Yes. I agree with you. It is very fair. But what I read into this, a second time until all who wish to speak for the first time. Are heard.
Yeah.
Oh, you
any
know
objections?
Yes. Are there any objections to this? I misread it. Grace, I misread it. I missed a word there. Yes, I agree. It is very fair. Very fair. Any objections? Okay, hearing none. Adopted. So we move on to number 5 on our agenda, number 5 item on the agenda.
Okay. Point of order, Bella. Point of order,
yeah.
Bella. As Michael mentioned, this motion says that time shall be assigned to all agenda items. So now what we need to do is assign time to every agenda item.
Every agenda item has a time on the agenda.
Janine, did this pass?
Yes, Janine. Go ahead.
Okay, let me see if I can find the agenda.
Can you please find the agenda?
Appreciate the attempt to bring this motion forward, but I'm asking for orders of the day because this discussion is taking too long.
Right.
And I would like to get on with what the committee needs to take care of today.
Thank you, Janine. I appreciate that. We already set our next day for the 14th, number 6 on the agenda. Comments from the pro tem chair, that was 3 minutes. And I wanted to say to Barry, Barry, you're there.
Present.
Okay. Barry, I want to commend you in the enormous effort you have made to provide us with several of the documents that we have repeatedly requested. That is very commendable, and we thank you so much. I wanted to ask you if you were able to look up all the back follow-up questions regarding the general ledger, the payables, and the vendors that we have been paying, which some are questionable. I sent you a list twice. Were you able to research and formulate a response?
No, I was not. I've been too busy
doing
the work, so I wasn't able to answer your email. But the payables, like I told you before, the intercompany accounts are not included in the aging list because they're not like payables that are aging.
Oh, no, I was not referring to the aging. I was referring to the general ledger with the payables, meaning the expenses, the payment, various vendors. I sent you a list of questions. Okay, so let's move on. Then the accounts payable aging. I have also asked you, who is it that we are paying account temps to?
That was an old invoice that we paid a couple of years ago. That has to be written off. Those items will probably be written off when the audit is completed. I am not to void anything on the general ledger until the audit is completed.
Okay, you're speaking of audit 2019?
That's correct.
Okay, great. Then how much in your summary, you said that you have, CPSK is already getting ready to start paying out the legal fees from Fisher and Phillips, but you omitted.
That is correct. We paid two invoices for Fisher Phillips, one for $5,400 and another one for $8,000.
Okay, there is nothing
we still,
here.
We still have three invoices to pay after that, though.
Okay, but there's nothing here for those numbers, for those figures.
If you look at the aging list, it's on the aging list.
Yes. The aging list shows $10,600, $12,000 even, $8,750. And those are...
those are the invoices that are remaining. Okay.
So you paid $5,400 and $8,000. When did
Correct.
You pay that?
The $5,400 was paid in February, and the $8,000 was paid last Thursday.
Okay, so they were both paid in February.
Last Thursday, that was March the 4th. That's not February.
Excuse me. That's right, March. Right. Okay. So that means that the February one, the $5,400, is reflected in the cash balance that you said we have at the bank today.
The cash balance, that money
and
is already gone. Okay, it's already been paid off. It's been paid, okay?
In the $8,000, right. Okay, reflected on that cash. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have many questions, but I'm going to take stacks. Who wants to be on the stack?
Fred.
Barry, why don't you go over your report?
Well, I have
right?
to go to the report first, you know.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so... KPFK's Bank of America operating administration account balance today is $136,820. There's going to be an additional $23,500 deposit on March 23rd. The total amount raised for the holiday fund drive was $346,429. The average daily amount collected was $11,175. And the total amount of pledges was $3,152. The average pledge amount was $109.91, and the fulfillment rate was 82.4%. The total amount raised for the February 2021 winter fund drive ended March 7, 2021, was $416,425, with 382 pledges and $36,693 worth of sustainers, which was 172 pledges. We fell short of our goal, which was $650,000. Average daily collection was $11,712, and the fulfillment rate was 82.5%. KPFK's aging accounts payable as of March 10th is $34,505. A large portion of that is the Fisher Phillips invoices. KPFK has begun to pay the invoices for Fisher Phillips, of course, for the law firm. KPFK is in arrears in paying essential services for fiscal year 2020, which amounts to 6 months of essential services of $220,974. KPFK continues to struggle in its quest to raise funds during the world pandemic for coronavirus COVID-19. KPFK's office has been regulated to support staff and volunteers on a part-time basis. KPFK, in order to meet some of their operational costs, has borrowed from Pacifica Foundation affiliates the amount of $17,000 and KPFA of $25,000. KPFK has paid back the Pacifica affiliate $14,740 it borrowed on January 31st, and it also paid back KPFA $25,000. I've also mentioned that we also made a central services payment for this month of $36,829. KPFK's February 21 employee health benefits has decreased by $5,000 from the previous month. In October 2020, Fund Drive KPFK raised funds for the victims affected in the Armenia Fund Partnership, the Uganda Villagers, and Assistance in the Agri-Workers Wildlife Relief. These are third-party fundraisers, of which we raised $26,743.81, and we had to pay back 40% back to the relief names, and that was paid back in full of $10,697. Due to world pandemic and KPFK's cash flow problems, four employees have been laid off to meet the staff reductions mandated by the PMB effective October 15, 2020. On February 1st, 2021, KPFK laid off two additional employees from the programming department, the program director and the on-air host development manager, and reduced the hours of the business manager to 50% along with reduced health benefits. On February 9, 2021, Pacifica Foundation received its second CARES Act PPP2 loan of $1.2 million to cover payroll expenses and health benefits for 3 months. The PPP1 loan, which was back in June of 2020, I believe, well, actually, I think it was like April of 2020, that was forgiven by the U.S. government in November of 2020. We don't have to pay that back. Okay, then KPFK payables and premiums are being paid in a manner that matches what cash flow is available in a particular month. The winter and spring fundraising of this year and the fund drives associated with medium to large donations should prove to be good months for listener support revenue, podcast programs, cell phone app donations, and website online support revenue. We have streamlined some of our vendor list to go with vendors that provide services at a reduced rate. Telepacific Communications, to mention one, has adjusted our billing rate to be in line with nonprofit rates and elimination of overlap phone lines. And then, of course, in fiscal year 2021, the 2021 budget, KPFK has allocated $42,000 in interest payments for the repayment of the FJC loan. The central service expense has been reduced by 30%. The PMB, I believe, is in the process of making a determination as to what the reduction is actually going to be for central services for the five stations. As of this day, KPFK is still in dire straits and needs capital infusion immediately. The winter February 21 fund drive and the funding of the second stimulus funding of $1.2 million to the Pacifica Foundation is crucial in buying some time for KPFK to catch up with vendor expenses and providing payroll funding for its employees for 3 months. This includes its health benefits, license renewals, insurance premiums, fund drive premiums, property tax, national office central services, and other accounts payable obligations. And that's it for my report. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Barry. If I may, I'd like to put myself on the stack, but I'm also taking a stack. Who wants to be on the stack?
Fred.
This is Dave.
And Dave. Michael. Michael Novick.
Got it. Anyone else?
Alan Beek.
Alan?
Now?
No, Alan. I'm taking a list, making a list.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Can I speak now?
No, Alan, you are the last one on the list.
Okay.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you, Barry, real quick on this summary. First of all, I put numbers next to each line so that it's easier to follow through. On number five, when you speak of the fulfillment, I sent it to you as well. Where you speak of the fulfillment rate, 82.4% from the sustainers, blah, 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 blah. At the end, you said that the goal was 650, but the goal that was submitted to Allegiance was 700,000, and it remained steady through the month until the end. So why would you adjust it here? Because then it came in way under.
Because I didn't feel that the $700,000 was a reasonable amount of money that we could raise in 28 days. So I brought it down to $650,000.
Okay, but remember, I said that was way too high last month, and you never mentioned anything. And are you the one who determines that?
No, I'm not the one who determines. Wait a minute. I have actual input as to how much we need to raise, yes, because of what we need to pay for and all that. Yes, I do have input in that.
Okay, but it was decided $700,000.
I didn't make the final decision. No, that was the general manager who made the final decision.
Okay, so you should not be changing it because that remained the actual historical number, $700,000. So it was under by $25,000. $25,000 more. The other thing is, on number nine, when you speak of KPFK's office has been regulated to support staff and volunteers, can you give us the dates again while inserting this information here? When did this happen?
Well, that happened in the beginning of the coronavirus, back in March of 2020.
No, regarding the $17,000 and the $25,000 borrowed, you said that they were paid up.
Well, you didn't say that. Will you be specific as to what you want? You said you wanted to find out what the date was for the regulated support staff and volunteers. Okay, the $17,000 was borrowed. Let's see, that 17 from the affiliate was borrowed in November of 2020. And the 14,000 was borrowed in January 31st of 2021. So we still owe the affiliate $17,000. That's what we owe. So that probably would be paid in the next couple of weeks or so back to the affiliate.
When are you planning to pay that?
I just told you.
Next month?
In the next couple of weeks.
In 2 weeks. Okay, so
right.
This month. Okay. Okay, the reason why that got confused is because you had those two lines together. I tried to separate them, and I was not able to do it in time. Then KPFK... let's see. Okay, KPFK has paid its central services expenses to the national office for March. Why are you handling paying March 2021 while neglecting last year? What is the formula for that? What is the reasoning?
We owed central services for March, and then we made a payment for March in central services. I mean, we can't come up with $220,000 to pay for fiscal year 2020.
But you
that's all
can't
we can afford to pay right now.
So that's being accrued in the, on the balance sheet, supposedly, and is not good for us. So that's not being paid down. That's accrued expenses, which is a very large number. Okay,
you
let's
can't
move
pay
on.
For something you don't have.
Okay, but if you don't have it, you should not be paying it this year. Okay, let me move on. Number 12, KPFK's February 2021 employee health benefits.
Point of order.
I agree.
Point of order. Yeah. The chair has a lot of power in any body that that person is the chair of. The chair should not put themselves at the beginning of the stack. At best, the chair should put themselves at the end of the stack after giving everyone else in the body a chance to make comments or ask questions.
Okay.
Next, wait a second. Per Robert's rules, if the chair is going to get into a lot of debate on an agenda item, they should turn the chair over to another person.
Okay.
But Bella, and you've just talked about six times in a row without giving anyone else. I understand that there's latitude, but really, Bella, it's a little bit of an abuse of your role as the chair. You should give everyone else precedence before you put yourself on the
I heard you.
And recognize
yourself.
I heard
yourself. You, and I understand. I heard you.
Okay.
Additional question, Michael Novick.
Fred is next. Michael, unless
the point
you
of
have...
order. The point of order. We set time limits both for the entire topic and for each speaker. We need to have a timekeeper separate from the chair who will call time on all speakers, including the chair. We need to respect the time limits we set. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I will entertain anyone that wants to be a timekeeper. That would be very helpful.
Bella, can you hear me?
Hello, Ruth.
Okay, good. That's fine. No, I don't want to time keep, but I just wanted to. I want to be on the stack. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ruth, for joining us. Thank you. You finish your course early. Who would like to be a timekeeper? Much appreciated.
This is Grace. I'll be a timekeeper for about an hour.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Grace.
I'll let you know when I can't do it anymore.
Gotcha. Okay, so, Fred, you are next. I will move the baton down.
Okay. Can you hear? Can people hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to, Barry, I'm looking over your financial summary document. I'm interested in more information on the sustainers. I noticed for the December fund drive that you list 92 sustainers and the income of $22,582. And then for the February fund drive, which is the spring fund drive, you list 172 pledges and for sustainers and $36,693. And when I do the calculations on the average donation by a sustainer for the December fund drive, would somebody please stop rattling whatever they're rattling and stop?
I agree. Can you mute, please?
Please mute your phone. Okay. So
John
what I'm
in, thanks.
Can I continue? Okay. I notice I do the calculations. The average sustainer for the December fund drive of the 92 was $245 per sustainer. And the average donation for the February fund drive of the 172, who's clapping and rattling things? Please stop it. Of the 100, the average donation for the 172 sustainers in February is like, I think, $214. Now, when we had sustainer information from MEMSIS back in 2018, the average sustainer was giving $15 a month, and I think we had 200, on the order of 200 sustainers. So what, now that we have Allegiance, it seems like the nature of these sustainers has changed. That, we're getting, $22,000 in December and $36,000, in February for, that you're claiming a sustainer income. What, can you, we've asked for information on sustainers and never gotten anything. Barry, could you comment on this?
Yeah, we are still in the process. Actually, the membership department is still in the process of actually making sure that the sustainer income is correct involved and also with the number of pledges, you know, as far as that goes. We are still in the infancy as far as getting those numbers together. So what is coming off the Legion's report is what we're saying is what I'm reporting, but we have to verify and make sure that those numbers are correct. So that's what's coming off the report. So Guy is basically still trying to verify that information to make sure that it's correct.
Follow up?
Right.
Because my understanding...
Go ahead, Fred.
Thank you. My understanding of a sustainer is somebody who gives us their credit card or bank account information so that we can automatically on a monthly basis debit their account a specified amount of money. This information seems to be jumping around and is variable, and I really don't understand that. You would think sustainer income would be very consistent month to month. And Barry, could you I really don't understand what the problem is of getting some real information on those people that are committing to sustain the organization on a monthly basis.
Fred, your time's up.
Thank you.
You must remember that there is going to be a pool of people that are going to be sustainers from month to month, and then also there are going to be new sustainers coming on board that's going to be added to that monthly total. So it is fluctuating from month to month.
Okay. I'm. Thank you, Barry. I'm finished.
Okay. This is not being addressed properly by Barry, but that's okay. Dave?
Sorry, I had to get off mute there. Yeah, thank you, Barry, for all this work on this information. On your first item detailing the KPFK current bank balance, also some of $136,000, somewhere else in the report, someone or perhaps you mentioned that we're getting that $350,000 from the PPP payroll government loan money, whatever you want to call the program. Have we actually got that money, Barry, or has Pacifica got the money, but it hasn't been transferred into our bank account? Is that why the figure is only $136,000? Here is the operating balance. Or have we some of that money? And, you know, could you clarify that a little bit?
Yeah, that $136,000 does not reflect the PPP2 funding, although we did receive the PPP2 funding already. So that money is being held at the national office level, and it is going to be utilized to pay our payroll expenses for the next month or so going forward here.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. So it's sort of earmarked for us. It hasn't been transferred into our bank account.
Our account. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yes, I understand. I just had a couple questions here, sort of curiosity. On the accounts payable aging sheet, there's a coffee company listed. There's a company that supplies coffee on the accounts payable aging sheet. It's called Verdugo Coffee Roasters.
Right.
It's appeared on a couple of the accounts payable aging sheets, and the figures are changing, so it looks like we're paying it down, or excuse me, maybe we haven't paid it down. No, $468 in the last two aging sheets. Could you elaborate on what that's for or what that's about and why it
hasn't been paid down? Back in 2015 and 2016, I believe someone at KPFK had an account with Verdugo Coffee Roasters in which we would get coffee from them. It's a pretty old account. And again, that's one of the ones that probably be written off. I haven't made any payments to them at all. But
so that for personal consumption of coffee at the station by whoever's at the station. In other words, it's not a premium.
No, it's not.
Okay. And there's another one on the aging sheet called Location Sound, and it's a relatively small bill, $163. Can you explain what that was for? It seems unusual that a radio station would be paying sound help. I don't know. Maybe you could elaborate.
Dave, you're in time.
That's some kind of software expense, what that is. The software expense.
Barry, can you respond? Couldn't hear you.
Yeah, that particular expense is for a software expense, I believe. I'd have to look into that, but I think that's what that is.
Okay, Dave, are you done, or do you have a follow-up?
Well,
Dave,
2 minutes.
At time, he used up his
yeah.
2 minutes, not
yeah,
counting Barry's responses.
Yeah,
two minutes isn't
enough time to ask any serious questions, Bella, but I went to my two-minute time limit, so I'm done.
Okay. Michael, you're next. Thank you.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. So my question is a more global one. When we originally discussed the budget and the finances for the station going into the fiscal year, the LSB had suggested that $15,000 a day might be a reasonable fundraising goal on the fund drives, and that we should have a budget that accommodated that with about 21 days a month, every other month, for a total of six times 21, 126 days or something like that of fundraising. We've had more than that in terms of the number of days, but less than that in terms of the take, essentially, because you say there's $12,000 a day in pledges on the average and a fulfillment rate of only 82%. To me, that means that the station is substantially in the hole, continuing again, despite the cuts that have been made in the budget. I'm very, very concerned about that. I think that essentially it's resulted in non-payment of essential services and reliance on latest PPP money to pay, to cover payroll, as opposed to, as I think it should be used, to cover additional severances and reduce our payroll so that we can have continuing operations that live within our means. So I don't know if it's a question or a comment, but I think that we have to draw that conclusion that we're still failing to have a balanced budget in terms of our operating expenses and our actual income. And I wonder if you could comment on that.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you remove the PPP2 amount of funding for the month of January, yes, we are we're in the hole, really. We're treading water. Part of the problem is that we're having our fund drives on top of each other. We need to spread our fund drives apart so we can give the listeners a break and maybe they can give us more money. I believe last year we did that. We tried to spread it out further on one of the fund drives, I think, from April to June, and when we ran the fund drive in June, we had some pretty good numbers coming in. This particular fund drive for February, the first week, we were doing really well. We were averaging like $16,000 a day in fundraising, and then we had the impeachment trial come through, and that kind of put a damper on us. Our numbers just plummeted. So that really affected us for this particular fund drive for February. If we didn't have that impeachment trial, we probably would have done a lot better.
Okay, I appreciate that. What I hear you saying is that we are essentially still not in balance in terms of our income and expenses, that we're spending more than we're taking in terms of our normally anticipated revenues. I think that's a very, very serious problem. I also want to point out that the $16,000 a day is not very, very good. because we used to have $40,000 a day fund drives, and even not that long ago, we had $25,000 a day fund drives. So $16,000.
Okay, I'm done. There are a lot of factors involved with that because we're in a pandemic. So that's going to affect it. There's nobody going to work during the drive time. Everybody's working from home. So that's going to be a big effect on the revenue.
Yeah.
And then in between the fund drives is where we struggle. That's where we struggle. And then when we get into fund drives and we're okay, then we can pay our bills and things are better off right then. But you're right. We need to bolster our fundraising and listener support revenue.
Michael, are you done?
Yes, I was at time. I just pointed out the problem. I agree. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying we have to live within our means.
Agreed. Alan, you are next. Alan.
Thank you. The agenda calls for a report from the business manager. But as far as I'm concerned, we have not received any report. To me, a report is in writing, and it is distributed to all of us several days before the meeting, so we have a chance to study it and understand what we are being told. And until we get a business report in that form, I think we should not consider that we have received a report from the business manager. There is something missing there. If he needs help in working out a format acceptable to all of us, I would be glad to be one of those who work with him on trying to determine a meaningful format. But until then, I think we're missing something that we are supposed to get and we are not getting.
Are you done, Alan?
I am done.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you very much. You are always right. This is absolutely true regarding the late receivership of, when we get these reports, it gives us little to no time to really swallow this and come up with a proper analysis. Is there anyone else that has not spoken that would like to speak before I come back and take some time?
Bella, I'd like to speak. This is John.
Hi, John. Go ahead, John.
Michael, I agree with your comments, and it occurs to me that living within our means probably means that we should not have covered the impeachment report. I know many of us wanted to hear it, but the fact that the fund drive was doing well until we went into impeachment and then it went into the toilet, and we're at the Finance Committee, so I conclude, therefore, we could not afford doing the impeachment report, and therefore we should not do it. So, mindful of this, I think the committee should think, and I don't have a motion ready, I don't know how people feel about it, but I think if we had another impeachment, or something like the impeachment that just had to be covered, we have to ask if we can afford to cover it. Governor should think about this. The LSB should think about this. The Finance Committee should think about this. I say going forward, my vote would be don't cover it. If the fund drive ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't go into impeachment. I don't know what the next emergency will be, but we need to prioritize the funds coming in for all the reasons we all understand. I'm done. How much time do
this is that Dave. Take? I'd like to comment on that. But,
go ahead, Dave.
We received
Grace,
a
I'd
document.
Like to speak.
Just answer John very quickly. We received a document called Pacifica KPFK February 21 Fund Drive from Allegiance, pledged by program. And on one of the classifications for program was the impeachment hearings, and it showed that there were 120 pledges that gave us $12,709. And then also it shows the KPFA/KPFK news received 38 pledges totaling $2,673. So the point is, without further clarification from someone like the business manager or the GM, I would think that this report indicates
that somehow or another we received $12,709 during the coverage of the impeachment hearings, unless this report is wrong and that money went to KPFA or some other entity. Thank you. That's all.
Bella, I had wanted to be on the stack.
Okay, I will put you on the stack. Ruth, one moment. Let Grace go, and you go right after her. Thank you, Ruth.
I can go after Ruth. That's okay.
Good. Go ahead, Ruth. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll just go through things quickly. I had to write them down. First of all, in terms of getting a budget, it took 7 months to get it. I hope that it won't take another 7 months to get the answers to what you have asked for. The second thing is you're correct. The goal for the fund drive was $700,000. We raised something like $300,000, so it was a $400,000 shortfall. I realized that the impeachment happened and also the Texas for the call-in center. I think it could have been said that we had those problems, and maybe if it was explained every so often during the fund drive, maybe they could have extended it. The other thing is that if premiums are costing that much, maybe more premiums should be linked to things, and then people would pay extra if they wanted DVDs or CDs. Let me see if there was anything else. And also those, I don't know who Fisher is. If they're lawyers, we have, a lot of money that's going to be paid out. We have never gotten at the end of the month exactly what's in our coffers, exactly what needs to be paid out and what our net owing is. And when I asked the last time, I was told Allegiance doesn't bookkeep like that. That's, to me, absurd. We have to know what we're in, what we're out, and what our net loss is per month. Thank you.
Are you done, Ruth?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so very much. Grace?
Yes, thank you. One second. I have to stop myself and reset it. Okay, so I time myself. Everybody's made very good comments. Thank you all. Bella, thank you for being receptive to guidance and chairing the meeting.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's much appreciated. I'd just like to say that the 30% cuts mandated by the National Board that was voted on June 11th of 2020. They still have not been made. The Fisher bill, the legal bill to Fisher, those are the labor lawyers to work with the union to create concessions. But I would like to say that this station really needs to figure out how to balance this budget because There are no funds at anywhere else in the network after the COVID relief money is finished to pay for KPFK expenses. And there have been people at KPFA in particular, because that station makes the most money of any station in the network and is able to meet its expenses, to shut down any station that can't meet its expenses and have that. And so we may be made into a repeater station. All of our staff could be laid off. So this is very serious, and we need to have a balanced budget. That's all.
Thank you, Grace. Right on. Okay, anyone else before I get to speak again, please? Anyone else? Janine, Rocio, we have not heard from you. Steve? If anyone else wants to.
I'm still listening. I'll wait to comment.
Okay. Okay. Paulina's not with us today. Okay. Barry, two areas. You keep referring to the PGP number two for another amount, but the allocation to KPFK is $350,000, which is supposed to cover at least three months payroll, or four, plus payments to the national office.
That's only It's only 5 weeks of payroll.
5 weeks. Okay, so that would give us, yeah, so that's almost 3 months. So 2.5 months. So plus
that's 6 weeks.
Also,
yeah.
Did you say 6 weeks or 5 weeks?
I said 6 weeks.
Oh, 6 weeks. Okay. We have a biweekly or semi-monthly payroll, the 15th and the end of the month. So that would, you know, that would cover the 3 months.
No, that's a month and a half.
3 months and a half. Okay. We still do, I'm sorry, I cannot hear. Michael, did you say something?
It's not
something?
Clear to me if Heather's saying it's 6 pay periods or 6 weeks.
I said 6 weeks.
That is incorrect, isn't it? Oh, that, wait a minute. If that is only 6 weeks, then that only covers 2.5 months.
A month and a half.
We have a semi-monthly payroll. So, and then on top of that, out of that, we have to pay the national office. Barry, can you answer quickly? Did I hear you respond to Dave that we have not yet received the PPP2 funding at our bank?
Yeah, we have received the PPP2 funding at the national office level, but not in our bank.
No, at our bank. So we have not yet received it locally. Okay.
No,
the other
that money
thing is,
that money is going to be used to pay our payroll.
Yes, we are speaking about that, Barry. That's what it's strictly for. And then
okay.
A little bit more, and then a little bit more to if we can pay severance or back pay, also try to pay down the national office. I have sent you.
I'm sorry, the question, Barry, excuse me. The question was, is it 6 pay periods that are covered or 6 weeks?
Yes.
6 pay periods. 6 pay periods is essentially 3 months. 6 weeks is a month and a half.
It's for 3 months. It's for 3 months. That's my
okay,
understanding.
So that's 6 pay periods.
Yeah.
Right.
Six pay periods.
Thank you, Michael. I have sent you several emails regarding the looming question of the miscellaneous and other income on the recent January P&L. For January, $322,200. Point 86.
Bella, that is the PPP2 money.
That is PPP2 money?
Yes, that's
what is it? Okay, it was not defined as PPP2 money. Those funds, in reality, should not be there. Those funds are strictly
if you listen to the National Finance Committee, you heard the CFO, Anita Sims, explain that that's the PPP2 money. She put it there.
I was not able to hook up with that. I've been very busy. And you have seen the emails I've sent out. You could have responded. You could have said something. Someone could have said something. I was wondering where all this money was coming from. Okay.
Bella, you're at time.
Okay, I am at time. Thank you, Grace.
Fred for the stack.
Fred. Go ahead, Fred.
Thank you. I was going to explain the PPP... two grant came in is in Pacifica's bank account, I think a couple weeks ago. A large chunk of that PPP money, about $300,000 of it, was used to pay our bill to NETA, the company that does our finances. We owed them, I believe, almost $400,000. And so the rest of the PPP money has been two big chunks of it have been allocated to KPFK and another chunk to KPFA, and the rest, the smaller amounts went to the other three stations. I just wanted to mention that. Barry, I have a question for you. I noticed in the latest Hello? What do you say, Barry?
I'm talking to my dog. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead, Brett.
Okay. I noticed in the latest P&L, the December P&L, that this year, I believe this year and last year, you've been breaking out website income. And the website income this year is about, it's about $100,000 a month. Would somebody please mute their mics? I'm getting feedback. Please, I hope that takes care of it. I noticed that the website income is substantial now. The website income is listener support income. In the past, 90% of our listener support income has been during the fund drives, not just during the fund drives, but has been over the donations over the phone. I noticed that we're now getting substantial amounts of website income donated on the our website. We have three streams of this website income because there are three different ways to pay with credit cards. So, Barry, can you comment?
Brad, you're at time.
Thank you.
You're at time.
Can I finish up? Can I finish up, Barry? Could you comment? Increase in income via the websites?
For the month of December, we had $100,000 of website income. You're in a situation where there's a lot of people working from home because of the pandemic, and they're making contributions via the on the website. Those numbers are coming from Terry Guy, who provides those numbers that reflect what we received in website income. So yes, that's going to fluctuate.
I'd just like to comment that also it costs us less to get income via the website.
That's correct, yes.
Fred, you're done? Okay.
Janine to the stack.
Janine? Did I hear Janine?
Yeah.
Yes. Hi, Janine. Yes, go ahead, Janine.
I did a cash flow before the February meeting that actually reflected what everyone was mentioning, which is that we kind of hit a wall in May as far even after we received the money from the PNB. So one of the questions I asked at the last LSB meeting is if we could get a list of both the remaining paid personnel and the volunteers and what they're doing. And Anyel's response was that would take a long time to be able to assemble that for us. So I guess I'm modifying the request now to say, can we get a list of the paid employees, not their names, but what the positions are that are still being paid at the station? Because just to take a look at where the payroll is going, is that possible to get before our next meeting and get it forwarded so we can see it beforehand?
That you would have to talk to the general manager, Anyel Fields, for.
Well, I did.
But you have to ask him again. You want?
Okay. Well, wouldn't you have that? As part of payroll?
I have, yes, I have registration, the payroll register. Yes, I do. But that's something you need to get approval from the general manager.
So in theory, he could just ask for you to forward us the payroll with the names blacked out, and we wouldn't know, and just the positions of each of the paid employees. And I'm not fixating on this because it's just that when we're hitting a wall, we need to know how the station's being run and how many people are on payroll. We have no gauge of that right now. So it's just a matter of getting him to approve you giving that to us. Am I right?
Correct. Because of the recent layoffs,
we've already
laid off four people in October, and then we laid off additional two people on February 1st. So we're down to probably a headcount of about 26 people.
Right. So to follow up, I'm sorry, I'll be brief, is, those 26 people, if we can just see what those positions are and what they're doing, because we have no idea. And it would help us understand the payroll going out. I know that there's, it's unfortunate that there's people that have had to be laid off, but it would also be helpful for us to see what positions are remaining.
Janine, are you done?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. That is so pertinent. Okay, I wanted to our time right now is 6:06. Grace, when are you leaving us?
In about 20 minutes.
Okay. I wanted to make a comment, Barry, if I may, regarding the bank reconciliation. You did send us the bank reconciliation. The number does tie with the opening to what you sent us from Great Plains. But I am, the $54,000, the outstanding check. Can you explain to me, please, why there is such a huge list of outstanding checks for the January bank reconciliation? All dated. Going back to 2016, 2017 through 2020, and then for 2021, you have 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So 15 for 21. It is unbelievable that we are carrying all of this and the adjustments have not been made. Can you explain that?
Like I mentioned to you before at the onset of this meeting, when I began to speak, a lot of those old checks will be written off once the audit is completed, and then I can just wipe them away from the outstanding list. So a lot of those checks will be removed from 2016 and 2017.
Okay. When you write off any item, a check or a payment, on any accounting system, that means that you have to add it back to the cash. Because that was cash that was presumed going out earlier. So that means
it could be a wash in which a check was issued, might have been lost, or it was the incorrect amount, and then the check was reissued. So it doesn't have to be where the amount of money is being put back into the bank account.
I agree with you.
There's a lot of different scenarios with that. You can't just put it in one scenario.
Okay. Yes, I agree with you, but that requires the research that should have been done a long, long time ago, right? Because this is going back to 2016. So whether or not these are duplicates, if they're lost in the mail, all of that would need to be researched. This should have been done a long time ago, right?
Bella, you're out of time.
Okay.
And these items should have been written off as at fiscal year audit 18, not now. So we're still holding this stuff here. This is why we never know exactly how much we have. Okay. Let's go back to our agenda. Barry, is there anything else you want to add here?
Yes, I would like to add something else. We did receive a $7,000 grant from the Tide Foundation in the month of February.
Yes, you told us that last month, that it was coming in that month.
Okay. So it did come in.
Yes, it was confirmed also via email. Okay. Let's go back to our agenda. Let me go over there. There are just so many questions, and I cannot, you know, we never have the proper time here. Janine, I wanted to go back to Janine's cash flow that she created, which now needs to be adjusted because when she did it, we had not yet received January. So, Janine, would you be able to adjust it with accounting for factoring in January numbers?
Yeah, I can do that and send it out. Maybe we should have that for Sunday's meeting.
We should, which is why, how soon would you be able to send it to the group with the adjustments?
I could probably get to it tomorrow and send it on Friday.
On Friday.
Okay,
that's great, because that's important. That would be an item that we need to work over. Barry, I have a question for you regarding a budget. And
Bella, point of order? Yes. Are we on to the next agenda item?
Yes. Report on...
Where are we on the agenda?
We are right here, review January 2021 P&L.
Okay.
And for this, we have 30 minutes. We have already covered... We jumped ahead to the Allegiance, so that was covered already. So now we are now at item number 9, which is review January 2021 P&L, which is why I brought up Janine's cash flow.
Can you open it up for a stack, then put yourself at the end of the stack, please?
Sure. And also Alan Beek's proposed budget. So I'm taking stack right now.
And repeat the agenda item so everybody knows what we're talking about.
You're reviewing the P&L for January 2021, which is fiscal year 2021. Item 9 on the agenda.
Okay.
I'm taking stack. Who would like to be on the stack? Who had the time to look at the expenses? We have covered the revenue. I would like us to key in on the expense side. By the way, I sent it out. Michael? Okay. Anyone else? Did I hear someone else? Go ahead, Michael.
So I noticed that the talking about the salaries, that the first 3 months, October, November, December, are higher than the previous year. I'm wondering if there are any additional severances besides the ones we've already discussed. For January, it's down to about what it used to be, which leads me to wonder what the impact of the reductions are. If the this is talking about line 39 salaries, If you look for the previous fiscal year, generally it's about 123,000. September, October, November, December are higher than that, and then January goes back down to about 123,000. So if we have eliminated positions, I'm wondering why it's back to where it was before the increases, which mostly represented severances.
Barry, can you respond?
Okay, Michael, you got to remember that we laid off four people in October, and we have to pay their vacation time and their pension.
Right, right. No, I understand that. I understand that.
Wait a minute. Let me just finish. Mm-hmm. That money will not be paid off until December for those four employees. Then here comes February. We laid off two more people. So that has to be accounted for their vacation and their pension and their separation pay.
Yes, but I'm asking about January. That February's not on here. In January, the payroll cost, after some severances were paid in October, November, December, and after some reductions had been made, the actual salaries for January is about the same as it was all the previous year, $123,000. So that's what I'm asking about. Why is that as high as it was before people were eliminated?
Michael, excuse me, point of information is $178,517 for January. Personnel cost.
The total, yeah, we're talking about total salaries and related. I'm just looking at line 39, salaries.
Oh, okay.
Because the other stuff is taxes, child care, blah, blah, blah. But the basic.
Okay,
the basic thing is line 39. Line 39, there are 3 months where it's higher because we're paying the severances, the vacation pay, and so on. January,
yeah.
Column X is for just $123,000. It's back to where it was for most of the previous year, even though we reduced our payroll. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah. Barry?
Yeah, the only thing I can say that it's associated with the layoff. That's all I can say. I don't know why that would be the same amount, but we did lay off four people, and then we got to pay a chunk of money out for their vacation, you know, so that's all I can say.
The question is, where's the severance payments showing up here?
That's going to
in October, November, December.
Where are any severance payments showing up here? I asked that last month.
Okay, well, that would be in pension contributions. Some of that would be in that line item 42, and then line item 39 would be the other portion of it. And
49.
Then,
39
and also, we did eliminate our independent contractors, too, so that brought it down some.
Well, it has not been brought down. This is part of our problem. Anyone else? Michael, are you done? Because you have some time left.
Yeah, it just reiterates to me the importance of getting the information that Janine asked for.
Right. By the way, we did receive that list. I have the list of each department, who is in each department. What we need is the salary next to each one. So I have the list of every employee that is present and has been let go. We just need the salary. Okay. Anyone else would like to go on the stack? Janine, do you have any comments regarding your cash flow worksheet?
No, I need to update it in order to have questions because I need to put the newest financials in.
The other area that we talked about was the cash on hand at the bank. that is not substantiated, has not been confirmed, that you have on top of each, at the beginning of each column, that would need to be confirmed?
Well, what I do in the cash flow is I basically take, just so everyone knows how I worked it, I took the all of the expenses that we had from 2020, and I assigned it to each of the months coming up this year. So, and shows how when Barry gave us a bank balance in February, minus all those expenses, we come up with a balance, and that balance starts the next month. So, in, theoretically, that should be our balance at the end of the month. But I haven't looked through Barry's financials to see if it is mirroring the, because it's a projection. It's a cash flow projection. It's not an actual. It's a way of budgeting, and for us to see when, you know, we're going to hit that wall.
Right. The thing is that the cash flow is not reflecting any reduction, especially even the 30% reduction. So that's an area that needs to be adjusted. So that is more realistic, in line with what we're working with. Michael, is that you?
I did have an additional question. It's the other expenses, particularly line 22. My understanding was that there was supposed to be a substantial cut in administrative expenses, but it's not reflected in these figures. October, it's quite a bit higher than any month, and so it's double any month in the previous fiscal year, and November also is higher. It's a little bit lower than those first 3 months in January, but January is still higher than any month in the previous fiscal year, except for one or two of them. So I thought there had been substantial cuts in administrative expenses, but it doesn't seem to be the case. The only one that's really showing much of a cut year over year is programming expenses. Development is still pretty high. For January, it's $29,000. The first 3 months was a little bit lower, but it's back
up there. Michael, can you interject something there? That administrative expense does include legal fees, so that's like $35,000 a year.
Mm-hmm, okay. All right. Thank you.
Did you say, Barry, that it is or is not reflected on the P&L numbers?
Yeah, that is reflected in the P&L numbers. The total invoices for Fisher Phillips comes to $45,000. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So that's reflected in the administrative costs for that month, for January.
You know what I just noticed? That you are showing for the professional legal fees, in October, you're showing $89.50. In November, $10,600. These are the same numbers that you have in the accounts payable.
Yeah, those expenses are accrued for the month that they were incurred. So
no.
You had $8,000 in October?
No. Excuse me.
You had some in November.
Numbers, no, Barry. A P&L is for items that have been paid, not open accounts payable. So you are putting actually items here in the P&L that have not been paid.
January, we paid an invoice for $5,400 of legal fees. And then in February, we paid another $8,900 in legal fees.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Then the $89.50 in October, how much of that was for the Fisher union contract negotiation paid?
That was all of it. That's for all of that, yeah.
The full amount paid? Okay, to Fisher. What about
right.
the $10,000 in November, the $10,600? That was also paid to them?
That's Fisher Phillips, too. That's Fisher Phillips.
Okay, and the full $12,000 as well in December?
Correct.
Okay, all right. So now you paid in January $87.50.
No, in February I paid $5,400.
February. I don't know why, but February. Oh, yeah. We have not done February yet, right? Wow. Okay. All right. We are certainly living the high life. We are really living the high life. I had no idea that one could live, any institution could live this way, but it's happening. I wanted to bring up Alan Beeks. We have to move on to the next agenda item. And the next agenda item, let me open it up. I send everybody Alan Beeks' proposed budget, which is realistic in line with deductions that we were mandated by the PMB and beyond, giving our reality. So if everybody can go there, we are on line number 11, Alan Beeks' budget, proposed budget suggestions presentation. Discussion Q&A from the committee. I would like people to first open it up. It's a spreadsheet. I sent it to everybody.
Well, of course, I'm trying to get an accurate budget and a realistic one.
We'll get there. Yeah.
The list we've had in the past show what's being spent, which is way too much because we have to cut it down or we'll go bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to figure out what is actually real. And the hard part is all these things in the operating expenses, the administration, the programming, and the development.
Right.
If we can cut those down to 55% of what they were, we'll be okay. But some of them can't be cut at all, like the rent on the tower, the maintenance on the tower on Mount Wilson. In fact, that's going to have to go up. It can't be cut. But there are a lot of things that can be cut, and I'm not very good at that. I've made a guess. If I don't know how many of you got that actual spreadsheet, which has the revenue and summary of expenses on the front, and the profit and loss, and the personnel. And on the second page, it has the administration, programming, and development. Those are the things that are hard to do. I made a shot at it once. That's the column called amateur. And it ends up being way in the red because I didn't see a lot of income coming in. And but for how much we spend on the administration, programming, and development, I sure want the help of anybody who knows what would be realistic for the actual minimum we can get away with on the annual expense. For each one of them, I've shown what it has been in the past, typically. I've shown what it will be if we cut it down to 55% so as to actually get there. But knowing that 5% isn't realistic. I've shown what it will be this year if we keep on spending at the same rate that we've spent during the first third of the year. And boy, that's a lot of money, much more than we've historically spent in the past. And then I just made my own guesses of what those things should be, which are pretty crummy guesses. But in the end, I do end up spending more annually, $329,000, as opposed to the $542,000 it would take to actually balance the budget. If anybody has any way they can help by suggesting what they think we should put in there, in the column that says you, I sure want to hear about it.
If I may, Alan, thank you so much for giving us a rundown. So I want to stress at the very beginning, at the top of the, if you have the worksheet in front of you, this is a realistic budget. What Alan has done is retain 60% of the revenue given our current climate and under COVID. So at 60% retention is what the budget is based on, okay? And then based on that is how he has come to this year's proposed budget for 4 months. That would be, of course, October, November, December through January. And then I want to take you all the way at the bottom, and each department, administration, programming, and development has been reduced at 55%, which is very reasonable. So that's what the budget is based on, 60% retention of income of revenue and 55% reduction, not across the board, but on various items. Now, if you look at the very bottom of the worksheet, what we've got is a budget that we can possibly live with, a total based on administration, programming, and development of $542,786, which is very doable. And if you then come to this year as a forecast, then you are looking just a little higher at $636,852. At this point, I don't think we need to talk about the amateur column, because that can be interpreted by any of us. But what I would like us to do as a homework, which could be a lot of fun. You also just received the general ledger for January, so that can help us look and see how much monthly we are paying for most of these expenses, more or less. And based on that, each of us can put a number that we feel can be realistic under you. And you can name it, you know, you can put your name on top of the worksheet, and then you can send it to the group. Then what we can do is compare and come up with a complete consensus, realistic number, final number, for the expenses. But they're all here. They have all been reduced accordingly. All expenses are at 55% except for central services, which must remain at 100%, even though we are getting reductions on that due to the electrical, AC, et cetera, and other expenditures. So we will not be touching.
If you just stick to the second page, just take the administration, programming, and development.
Right.
Just work on those three.
Right, that's exactly. And that would be plenty. You can leave
point of information.
Has anybody here talked to management?
No, not regarding this worksheet, this project, not yet. Michael?
Fred? Yeah,
well,
my question is actually directed to Fred. Can you clarify if there is a reduction, and if so, what it is on KPFK Central Services obligations going forward?
Central Services.
100%.
Excuse me, the question was directed to Fred.
Bill, you know nothing about Central Services, Billa. Central.
I thought he was asking Alan. Fred,
no,
relax.
The question is directed to Fred as our treasurer and a member of the National Finance Committee.
Yes, got it.
I understand.
Thank you.
Let me finish asking it then. If you didn't understand it, I'm repeating it. My understanding is that there were changes made to the central services obligations going forward. I'm asking Fred to clarify if there's a reduction, and if so, how much it is for KPFK going forward. Because if we're trying to reduce expenses and we have actually reduced our central services obligation, that will affect the other aspects of the spreadsheet we're trying to develop.
Right. Okay.
Can I add? No, can I respond, Bella? Can I respond, Bella?
I told you, yes, Fred. How many times do I have to say it?
Well, I didn't hear it, Bella. Okay.
Okay.
The Please don't talk over me, Bella. In any case, the National Finance Committee talked about central services formula last night. We had a special meeting back in February, I believe February 24th, on central services, where we passed a formula that then went to the national, to the board of directors, the Pacifica National Board. There was some mistake made in that, and it's come back to the National Finance Committee. We're reworking the central services formula. What can I say? Anita has provided a preliminary spreadsheet where they've done a draft of the central services, what central services would look like. I thought that our central services would be reduced by about $12,000 a month, but the draft I saw showed it actually going up by $2,000 a month. Of course, all of this is immaterial because the income at the state at KPFK is not sufficient to pay any central services. Barry said he paid a month of central services when he got the PPP money, but there won't be enough income to pay it, even at a reduced level. The issue with central what the National Finance Committee decided to do with central services was to base central services on basically on user support income. What we passed as a formula in February was based on net income, not fund drive income. We were going to make the central services payment be 15% of the monthly income. But as I say, we decided to revisit the central services formula again and discuss and look into this issue of net income versus fund drive income. But we've already voted that the fairest way to apportion central services is based on actual station income. Versus the budget for the national office. There are actually people should realize there are two central services payments that each station makes. There's one central services for the national office and one for PRA, for the Pacifica Radio Archives. KPFK is up to date on its PRA central services payments, which is about $4,000 a month. I think it's $4,200 a month. KPFK is almost a year in the rears on central. Actually, it's about a year in the rears on central services payments. We paid only 6 months of central services payments for FY20. And I think we're in the rears of a couple of months in FY19. And we've only paid about 1 month of central services for FY21, which we're currently in. That's it. Michael, do you have a follow-up question or clarification?
Well, my main question is whether it would be any lower going forward, but apparently not from what you said Anita came up with on their spreadsheet. So that was the key question I had. If we were paying less on central services, we'd have a little more room for the other expenses.
I was thinking it would be lower because our income is half of what it normally should be because of the pandemic. So if our income is lower, our central services payments should be lower. But as I say, Nita did a spreadsheet of a draft of central services, and I saw that draft had KPFK at $40,000 a month and KPFA at $52,000 a month. And I had done a preliminary back of the envelope calculation, and I thought it would be reduced to $26,000 a month. But so we're going over this, and it's going to, after we finish it, it has to be voted on by the P&B. Thank you. I hope I've been
clear. I have invited. Just to let people know, I have again invited people from NETA, along with the chair of the National Finance Committee, the GM, the business manager, and the ED, to attend our Sunday special session on the 14th for the KPFK LSB to look at the finances overall. So maybe we'll get some response from them there.
Bella, could I be on the stack?
I heard someone else, Fred, also. Hold on. Let's grab a hold of this. Who else spoke just now beyond Fred and Michael?
It's Barry. I want to make a comment.
Okay.
Alan Beek.
Okay, so it's Barry, Fred, and Alan. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I also want to tell you that in the month of, on February 25th, we made a KPFK employee retirement plan account of $59,967.03, which was for the employees, okay? So I just want to tell you that, too.
A payment?
Can you repeat that, Barry? You said it very quickly, and it's very important. Can you repeat
okay.
that? What was it paid?
Yeah, it paid for the KPFK employee retirement plan accounts. And
okay.
that amount was $59,967.
You said that was in February, so it's not on any documents we've seen yet, right?
Right, that was in February, yes.
Mm-hmm.
This, Barry,
in February.
Barry, this is a contribution.
Pardon me?
Barry, this is a contribution
yes.
that you made.
Yes, for the employees, yes, KPFK employees.
Barry, you said you paid that in February, right?
That's correct, February 25th.
Okay. And this is paid how often? Shouldn't this be paid monthly?
It should, but we didn't have the money, so it accumulated.
Right.
That's probably why it was so much money. So.
Right. So how many months arrears was this representing? This payment?
I'm not sure. I didn't know what the arrear amount was. I don't know what that is, but I know it's probably like 6 months, probably. 6 months to a year.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Barry.
You're welcome.
Point of order?
Yes. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm wondering if Grace is still on the call, and if not, who else is going to keep time and how much time
yes.
we have left for the meeting?
Yes. Grace, are you still there?
I'm still here, but I'm about
yes.
to leave the call,
okay.
I won't be able to keep time, and I'd like to tell you that you're out of time. You're 1 minute over the time allotted for this agenda item.
Got it. Thank you, Grace. So you are leaving right now, or you're leaving in a few moments?
I will stay on for a little longer, but I can't keep time any longer.
Got it. Okay, but we are already reaching 7, so we should be adjourning at around 7. How do people feel about that? Hearing no objection.
This
should...
is Grace. I'd like
Go
to
ahead.
Say that I think it's very important to figure out what you all are going to do at the LSB, the special LSB meeting, and what the purpose
That's
of
right.
that meeting
exactly.
is going to be.
Exactly. So if we stay in 7 o'clock, I wanted to suggest the following. Let me go back to the agenda to make sure that we're not missing anything. Because the next agenda item is number 12, which is discussion of the special LSB Finance Committee, others on 3/14, 10:30 a.m. What I suggested earlier, and then people can chime in, we'll take stack, is that we work that two items need to be considered. Janine's workflow chart, for the fiscal year 2021. And
cash flow, you mean?
I'm sorry?
Cash flow, is that what you mean?
Yes. For cash flow, which has been sent to all of you, it will then be adjusted within the next day or so to reflect January's numbers. So that those numbers will be adjusted. But just look at that, familiarize yourself with the synergy there. And then when she finishes that, she should be sending that back to us by Friday, I think she said, sometime Friday. So that gives us a little time. In the meantime, we have homework to do with Alan Beek's proposed budget, which is a very self-explanatory worksheet. The previous one he did, I submitted it to the body last month, and I took all the formulas. I put all the formulas into it. I have had no time to do that with this one. So what I will do is go back to this one here that him and I worked on it yesterday as well, and put in the formulas so that as the changes come in, as each of every one of us puts under you what we think the expenditure should be around, bear in mind we cannot reduce certain ones that are fixed, like the tower, electrical, gas, things like that that are pretty much steady, even though they go up and down. Just the other items and the legal fees, we cannot deal with that. So that is a homework. And these two items combined, I think, will give us a framework, a very good framework, to then submit it to the full body of the LSB, have input, and also to the James Fogerton, to the executive director, and the public. And so this could be a lot of fun, but I feel this is the most comprehensive document we have to date. These two. One is
Fred for the stack. Fred for the stack.
Michael.
Fred. Okay, Fred. Go ahead, Fred. And who else? Michael?
Yeah.
I want to remind this local finance committee that the KPFK LSB voted to reject the budget. And budget by definition is management's budget. It's not the finance committee's budget. It's management's budget. It's their plan for the coming year. Well,
right.
because the LSB rejected the budget now belongs to the NFC, and the NFC is going to try and put something realistic together. We may ask for help from some of the people here at the local finance committee, but it now belongs to the NFC and the PNB. Period.
Okay. Michael, and then I'll put myself on the stack. Michael?
Yeah, yes, under the bylaws, the LSB is supposed to do a... Can you hear me? Under the bylaws, yes. The LSB...
No, we can't hear you. You're breaking up, Michael.
No, I think somebody else is talking over me. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Okay. Under the bylaws, the LSB is supposed to do a quarterly evaluation of the actuals in comparison to the budget and send that evaluation along to the PNB. You can look it up. I've sent it to the LSB several times. It's one of the mandatory powers and duties of the LSB. That's the purpose of the meeting, primarily. In addition, and we have all those figures from the first quarter and beyond at this point. So I think that in addition to an assessment of what we can say about the actuals, which I think is that they're unsustainable, in the first quarter, we want to get as much information as we have about any corrections, of course, that have been made subsequently in January and February, if we can get it by the 14th, which I don't see why we can't have February's financials by that point. And I think that if there is not a sufficient correction that has been made, we need to report to the, we need to review that and report to the PNB that the actual financials are not in line with the continued operation of the station going forward, and that additional corrections need to be made. So to my mind, that's the nature of the discussion and action that will be taken at Sunday's meeting. Hopefully we'll have people there from NETA and the national management and local management and the National Finance Committee that can assist in that analysis. But, you know, that's what I think will be happening on Sunday. That's my assessment of the situation. We'll discuss it, you know, collectively as the LSB with whatever input the Finance Committee can give us. But I think that, you know, looking at the figures, we're continuing not to have a balanced budget. And I think Alan's proposal is helpful to say what a balanced budget would be, but at this point, we're nearing the timeline for the budget for fiscal year 2022, because that process is supposed to begin in June and it's already March. So we need to have some handle on how a budget for the coming year is going to be created. So I think that an assessment of the first quarter and as much of the second quarter as we can have will facilitate that tremendously. I'm done.
Thank you, Michael, for that. I was going to speak to that, and I think you laid it out really well. Fred, I have a question for you. Is there any time frame that you have received as to when the PNB, the national office, may have any draft budget for KPFK? Or is this something that will be worked on at some future date? Because we've been hearing this for a while.
The NFC is currently going over different station budgets. I think we've already gone over three stations' budgets and the national office. We've got half a budget for the national office so far. That has to so we're going to be looking at KPFK's budget in the next 6 weeks, over the next 6 weeks.
Okay. So I think it is my opinion also that with this exercise that we are going to carry out this coming Sunday will help NFC give them a frame as to what things look like or and should look like. And this will help them also facilitate whatever they want to draft. But we have got to do what we need to do locally, and that effort needs to remain here locally. And that is the reason why we're bringing all these people together. Did I hear someone say something? Okay. Is there anyone else that wants to speak on this matter, on this subject?
Lawrence to the stack. I think you have Michael before me.
Yeah, Michael spoke already. Hi, Lawrence. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for asking.
Very good. Lawrence, you have the floor.
Okay. So I just want to reiterate the opportunity that the that this committee has, and also the board members of the LSB have, in terms of being able to provide input and meaningful elements to the process that the NFC is going to go through when it comes to putting together a budget for KPFK. I think it's very critical to be mindful of what Michael had to say in regards to that is one of the main duties that we have as an LSB, is to review the budget. And we did review the budget and we rejected it, but also we have an opportunity for another bite at the apple this Sunday And also, I'm hoping that the NFC does add people locally to attend a meeting when they address putting together the budget for KPFK. I know that there was three budgets approved, I think 2 weeks ago, and I don't remember if it was the fourth. In regards to, I know WPFW's budget was approved, WBAI's budget was approved, and I think those are the only two that came up. I don't remember KPFA's budget. KPFK is perfect. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Fred.
I believe the affiliates group was also approved.
Right, and the affiliates. Those are the three. Right, you're right. So that's what's happening with that. I know KPFA doesn't have any problems. They're the perfect kid in the family. So I'm being sarcastic. But anyway, so we definitely have to look at inputting that process that the NFC is going to undertake. So that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lawrence. I wanted to add to that real quickly that the 9 budgets have been submitted from the general manager of KPFK, and 9 times, at least 8, but I remember 9, have been rejected. And only 3 times, 2 or 3 times, they were submitted to the LSB directly, and they were rejected. So we have our work cut out for us. We have to come up with something. We have to work with some framework. And I think it would be very helpful to key in on this Sunday, and we can all do our best while we're all on the same page. And I fully agree that the present numbers on this P&L are non-sustainable. We simply cannot continue at this trend, spending and not looking at what's coming in, what's feasible, and how we should live within a restrained budget. I wanted to say something else, and now I lost it. It's just so much. Anyone else wants to say anything? We are nearing adjournment at 7 o'clock. It's 5:56. Is everybody clear on the work that we have to do between now and Sunday? I will be working with Janine and Alan to get these two things out to you. I know that Janine will have it ready by the end of the week. But I'll be working with the one that Alan has submitted so that I can put in the formula so that as we get the numbers from each and every one of us, that those numbers will be changing accordingly. But that's what we have. That's what we have to work with. Then we can recommend the general manager to follow those numbers, you see. It has to come from here because it's not coming from the other side. So if it's not coming from the management, we have got to do our homework and put that into work, put that into action. Okay. I will be signing off now unless anybody else has any other parting comments. We had a long meeting today, a successful one, a fruitful one, I think, successful in whatever respect. Hello? Is everybody there?
Thanks for your good work, Mella. Did a good
job. Who was that? Oh, hi, Steve. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Thank you so much. You never spoke a word. I guess we all covered everything you had to cover.
I just attended a couple. There's too much other people talking, so I just listened.
Okay, very good, very good. Rocio, you never said a peep. What says you?
Bella, is the meeting adjourned?
Just about almost. Hold on, Fred. I know you get very impatient. Rocio, are you there? Rocio, are you there?
Hello, yes, I'm here.
Okay, any comments, Rocio, before we adjourn?
No, I mean, everything is so specific. Since I'm new, I was just taking notes and just trying to follow based on the documents that you send and just trying to get a basically a comprehensive understanding. So, I mean, I think it's essential, everything that's going on, knowing exactly where all the money's being spent in order to understand, you know, where to cut. And I'm just glad that you and Janine are going to do like a deep dive and really kind of hash out everything. And I'm looking forward to that. So I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you very much for being there. And Alan Beek, don't forget Alan Beek. He's doing a lot of work also. Okay, great. So we adjourn. Thank you. So we are adjourned the KPFK Finance Committee meeting of March 10th. And we are adjourning at 7 p.m. It's 6:59 right now. Thank you, Fred, for the stream.